Hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus. I'm excited in the days that we live in. The Bible says the dark will get darker, but the light will get lighter. And with the light, hallelujah. Praise the Lord, I don't know about you, but I'm excited what the things that we're seeing in this church, things that we're seeing throughout the world. Jesus is alive. Hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you, Lord. What an honor and privilege it is to be here tonight, preaching your word. Lord, I pray, Lord, by the power of your Holy Spirit, Lord, you speak to me, Father, first of all, that this word has spoke to me and it speaks to my brothers and sisters. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Praise the name of Jesus. This is not a religious thing that I'm doing. There you go. Light the candle. If you've got your Bibles with you, please, or I'll read from the Bible. First scripture is Matthew 20, verse 12. Praise the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. If you've got it. Matthew 12. 20. A bruised reed he will not break, a smouldering wick he will not snuff out, till he leads justice to victory. A bruised reed. We have a reed here that's bruised and broken. In the days of Jesus, a reed had a purpose because he used to make baskets and things of value. And when they had a reed that was broken and bruised, it was disregarded. We see people that are bruised before they come to know Jesus, and people that still remain bruised at times with certain standards in their life that they go through. A smouldering wick, he will not snuff out. We see a candle that's smouldering. It has no purpose to us because it's blown out. But Jesus said he wants a fan that's not any good to anybody back into life. He comes and he relights that candle when it's gone out. The reed that's bruised, Jesus, is the second reed that comes alongside, that binds himself around the bruised reed to straighten it, to strengthen it. What a wonderful Jesus we serve. He comes to the brokenhearted, the bruised, and gets alongside. I want to ask you a question tonight. Are we people that get alongside people to encourage people? Or do we write them off? In today's world, we're so easy. In my past walk, all the glory to Jesus, I've been walking with Jesus for 20 years, but we're so easy to write people off when we don't see them in church, when we don't see them walking with God. Do we say to each other, no, he's backslidden. No, he's doing this or doing that. Or do we actually get alongside and encourage? Only you know that you're people that encourage. Jesus comes along and he gets alongside to strengthen. We're called to be people to support people. The bruised reed to support. The smouldering wick that is no good to anybody to fan back into flame. In Galatians 6 verse 2 it says, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Get alongside and bear one another's burdens. If we're burdened with something, we're called to be people to get alongside. Are you a person that gets alongside, or are you a person that avoids people when they have a problem? You know, I have a friend of mine in the world. Well, he's not a friend. He used to be a friend. But a very successful businessman, his motto was, a friend in need is a nuisance. This is what he actually said to me. A friend in need is a nuisance. And my God, what a statement to make. We're called to be people that get alongside the brokenhearted. We're called to be a people that support people when they need support. Praise the name of Jesus. If we turn to Matthew 18, verse 10 to 14. See that you do not look down on these little ones, for I tell you that the angels in heaven always see the face of my Father in heaven. What do you think? If a man owns 100 sheep and one of them wanders away, will you not leave the 99 on the hill and go and look for the one that wanders off? And if you find it, I tell you the truth, he is happier about the one sheep than the 99 that did not wander off. In the same way, your Father in heaven is not willing that one of these little ones will be lost. Jesus comes and looks for the one that is lost, the one that has wandered. Are you a people that go along to encourage and get alongside the one that's wandered? Only you can answer that for yourself. I like to think that we're people that do that. Jesus loves the person that is backslidden. Jesus loves the one that has had the news that has really burdened them down to a state where they can't go on with God. We need to be people that come along the brokenhearted. Have you seen Jesus in the church in the window, in the stained glass window, with the lamb around his neck, and he stands with the, is it the crook or whatever they call it? What do they call it? The staff. And around it, it's got a lamb around its neck. You see, that's the lamb that Jesus carries. He carries the brokenhearted. He carries that one. You know, I've heard people say that that lamb, first of all, had its leg broke so that Jesus could, first of all, put it round its neck. But to people, that lamb was worthless. It had no purpose, but Jesus saw the purpose in that lamb and bared it round its neck. We need to be people that bear each other's burdens. We need to be people that care for the one that's brokenhearted, the one that's fallen away. Only you can answer if you're the person that gets alongside. Do we have the same compassion as Jesus? Do we have that compassion? You see, the word compassion in the Greek means to be moved. And it means if you've got a bowel movement and you need to go to toilet, that's what it means, compassion. You see, we can see things and we can say to each other, so-and-so and so-and-so is not being in church. Oh, you can say that's so sad. You can so sad. But Jesus had compassion. And compassion is to be moved, to do something. You know, we can all say that we're going to do something at the next service or the next time that some of our brother goes out on the streets or the next time that somebody's going to visit somebody. And you can always say with your mouth that you have compassion. But do you actually move? Do you actually do something to get alongside the one that's brokenhearted? In James 5, 19 to 20. Hallelujah. My brother, if one of you should wander from the truth and someone should bring him back, remember this, whoever turns a sinner from the error of his ways will save him from the death and cover a multiple of sins. The bruised reed, the smoldering wick, the one that we go and speak to, we're called to be people of compassion, of love. See, without the love of the Father, we have nothing. I don't know about you, but more and more, I'm realizing that love. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. Whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal. What love God had for us, his people. We're all lost on the way to hell. And I don't know about you, but he poured his love into my heart. And we need to be people of love, people of compassion. A bruised reed, he will not break. He gets alongside the bruised, the battered, the heartbroken. We need to be the people that support to get alongside. the smoldering wick that's blown out has had no purpose, a candle. Jesus says, fan it back into flame. Spend time. Fan the life back into that person. Praise the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 I see so many people that when we go to certain churches and you go in there, and it feels sad when you go to a church and you see people that used to be going to church and they're no longer coming to church. I don't know about you, but I feel sad in my heart. Do you know somebody that used to come to this fellowship that no longer comes? Somebody that you need to pick up the phone, someone that you need to go and see, someone that you need to just get alongside and listen to the reason why they're not coming. That's what we're called to be, people of love, people of compassion. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Matthew 7, 1 to 5. Do not judge, or you will be judged. For in the same way as you judge others, you will be judged. And with the measure you used, it will be used to you. Why do you speak about the sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when at all times you have a plank in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take it out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove respect from your brother's eye. We're so easy, aren't we, to pass opinion on other people. We are. If we want to be real honest, it might be sometimes even at home, you know, in our private time, Karen will say something, and then we say something, and I say to her, we shouldn't have said that. A judgmental spirit. If we want to be honest and truthful, we've all done it. The first 15 seconds that we meet somebody, in the natural, we form an opinion. Within 1 minute, we think we've summed the person up and we pass an opinion. Jesus has not that same outlook. We need to be people of compassion. We need to be people that love and courage. You see, if you've got something in your own eye, I found this. Some Christians you get around and they're always being judgmental. And the reason why, I believe, that scripture is telling us, if we've got something in our eye, we can't see clearly. If we were truly look into the gospel of Jesus Christ, we wouldn't see the plank or the speck in anyone's eye. Because Jesus always looked beyond the speck or the plank. Because he said a bruised reed he will not break. The reed that he gets alongside, he straightens. And he says, you have been brokenhearted. You have had said things spoken to your life. I will support you. We need to be people that do that. Praise the name of Jesus. James 4, 11 to 12. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Brothers, do not slander one another. Who speaks against his brother or judges him, speaks against the law and judges it. When you judge the law, you are not keeping it, but sitting in judgment on it. There is only one lawgiver and one judge, the one who is able to save and destroy. But you, who are you to judge your neighbor? Sometimes we're so easy, aren't we, to judge people. If we want to be honest, we do. When we see somebody, we can judge somebody and we can weigh them up and we think that we know them, we can judge them, we pass an opinion. We're all guilty of it. I know I am. I know I am. God says to love, to build up, to encourage, to get alongside. I know I have. I don't know. Am I the only one here that... am I the only one? Love. Jesus says love. And only the love of the Father is a thing that attracts people to God. I don't know about you. When I first come to know Jesus, I was in a church, and I've spoken about this before, in Southampton, and it was a Pentecostal, a New Testament Church of God, where the ladies had the biggest hats you've ever seen, and they would sing a song for, if it felt like all day, until the Holy Spirit came. But when it came, it came. And I used to go home to Karen, and I used to say, those people have got something I want. So what? I said, I want what they've got. The peace of God and the love of God. The love of God. And first of all, I experienced the love of God, but then the fear of God. We need to be people of love. Because a bruised reed, he will not break. But we do sometimes break people. Things we say. The things we say, the way we judge people. The opinions we have on people. We disregard it. But Jesus gets alongside. That candle that's got no purpose. Smouldering wick. We snuff it out. You know when you snuff a candle out? Jesus comes alongside and fans it back into flame. Let's be people that fan things back into flame. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 13, I know it's a love chapter, but what a wonderful chapter of God. Hallelujah. Just want to read you from 1 to 7. If I speak in tongues of men and angels, but have no love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy, and can fathom all mysteries, and all knowledge. And if I have faith that can move mountains, but have no love, I am nothing. If I give all my possessions to the poor, and surrender my body to the flames, but have no love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love do not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easy aggrieved. It keeps no records of wrong. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects and trusts, always hope, always preserves. I don't know about you. There's quite a few things there that I need to work on. Quite a few things that I need to work on. But we can have all that. All that, but if we have no love, we have nothing. You see, not the love that the world has, the love of Jesus. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. That bruised reed that he gets alongside, the one that's been disregarded sometimes by us, is worthless. The people that we see, that we meet, the people that we judge when we see them. When you look at the Apostle Paul, he was the worstest of sinners. He was going around murdering the Christian. There was no worse a sinner than Paul. He wrote 3/4 of the New Testament. A man that found Jesus on the road to Damascus. I don't know about you, I think I would have avoided Paul. If I was a Christian, I'd have avoided him like the plague. And we see in the Bible, they avoided him. People say that they said Paul, they went, Paul who? What, the Paul who was on the road, the Paul who came to kill Christians. He was persecuted and he said he's the worst of sinners. You see, as you know, I'm a gypsy man, and I see some, in the gypsy community, I see some people, that you would believe it would never ever come to know Jesus. Never ever known these people that have been bad people, real bad people. I'm going to, on Tuesday, to a Bible college for a day, and there'll be 600 men of different breed, different race, that have, would once upon a time, I mean, would have killed, and people that have seriously, seriously done bad things to people, but they're all of one spirit, because Jesus' love breaks down all barriers. All barriers. All barriers. It heals people's hearts. It just breaks down all barriers. We need to be the people that is full of love, because a bruised reed, he don't break. He supports. We need to be the people that support people. We need to be a people that when they come in, we support. Because I know this, when I found Jesus Christ 20 years ago, I was bruised, I was battered, I felt worthless. Yes, I might look good from the outside, but I was filthy on the inside and full of sin and hatred. But I felt the love of Christ come into my life. And when he changes you, you're never the same person. Praise the name of Jesus. A smoldering wick, he will not blow out. The worthless candle, it's got nothing to it. He fans back into flame. Praise the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Only you can answer whether you're the person that builds it. I believe, I know a lot of people here. I believe there's a lot of people here that builds up. I believe that. We're so blessed to be in a church that is full of God's love. So blessed to have people that support. But what are we like to the people outside the church? The Great Commission, the Great Bible that says the gospel to go out into all the world. Are we judgmental? I know I am. Are we people that love, support? Only you can answer that. Only you can answer that. I want to ask a question tonight. Do you know somebody that you should get alongside? Do you know somebody that maybe you haven't always done the proper thing by encouraging them? Or somebody that you've let down? Or you might feel like that reed. I want to ask you a question. If you know somebody that maybe that you should have got alongside, or somebody you need to get alongside after tonight, just stand to your feet. I'm already standing because I know there's people that I should have got to speak to. Praise God. Hallelujah. Andy, can you come? Sorry. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus. You see, God sees our heart. You know? And God sees the people that we need to get alongside. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you, Lord. Lord, I'm already standing because I know people, Father, that I should have got alongside, Father, that maybe I haven't. And I thank you, Lord, for my brothers and sisters here tonight. Lord, I thank you, Lord, that you're a God of grace and mercy and love and compassion, Lord, and move, Lord. I pray in the name of Jesus, Father, Lord, that everyone is standing, Lord. Lord, I thank you, Lord, that we're people, Father, Lord, that are on a journey. None of us are perfect. And you're a God full of grace and mercy. But I thank you, Father, Lord, that you rebuild, you strengthen, you get alongside. And Lord, we want to be people called to get alongside and to strengthen, and not to blow out the people that are brokenhearted, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you. Amen. Andy, can you just play something? Mm-hmm. I just feel as though that every time that I get an opportunity to speak, and it's an honor and privilege to speak in different places. But I know one thing, the gospel is the most important thing that anybody could ever receive. The gift of salvation, as our brother mentioned, our name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. For me, that is the most wonderful, wonderful thing that God can ever give. You see, the gospel for me stands for this. G, God. O, offers. S, sinful. P, people. E, eternal. L, life. God offers sinful people eternal life. You might say, well, I'm not a bad person. I haven't done much wrong. But you see, God says, if you've told a lie, or you've ever just stole a pen from the bank, when you've gone into a bank and walked out with it, that said it's theft. You see, there's a Saviour that wants to come in to the brokenhearted, who wants to come alongside you and support you and give you a new life. The Bible says the old is gone, the new has come. And the best day for me, when I found Jesus Christ 20 years ago, I'm 55, 56 years old. That was the best day of my life, and it's free. It's a free gift for anybody, anybody that feels brokenhearted, anybody that feels disused, abused by the world, because we live in an abusive world full of anger and bitterness. If that's you, just put your hand up. I'd love to pray for you. I'd love to pray to you, and it'd be the best decision you've ever made in all your life. I just can't tell you the wonderful thing that Jesus does for you. He just is in the he's in the restoration business. He restores you from the inside out. Hallelujah. Anybody here that feels cold in heart, you know, sometimes we can go to church, and I'm not asking anyone to put their hand up, but if you feel cold in heart, you cry out to Jesus tonight. You cry out for Jesus, for that fire, that flame, that to flame your faith back into life. He's in the restoration business, and he comes to flame, no matter how you're feeling. You know, if that's you tonight, just pray to him. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you, Father, Lord, what honor and privilege it is to share. But Lord, as I share this word, Lord, I speak to myself first. This word was given to me first to myself. But I pray, Lord, Lord, in these times that we can be a people of love. Your love, Father, not as the world knows it, Father, but a people of love to the brokenhearted. Lord, I believe, Father, and I believe that you showed me, Lord, there will be people coming to this church brokenhearted. But Lord, when we're prepared, this will take place. You see, revival starts within the people. It says, if my people are called by my name, will humble themselves and turn away from their wicked ways, I will hear their prayers. You see, God hasn't changed. We need to be the people that are ready to receive the brokenhearted. I want to ask you, are you ready? Are you ready for it? Praise the name of Jesus. Amen.